Happy training camp eve, Eagles fans. It feels like Christmas for me, and I'm sure for you out there. Welcome in to the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Lou DiBiase in studio hanging out with you, and I got an awesome conversation with you today with Ian Wharton. He is the head of the NFL cornerback handbook for 2017-2018 that he put together. $10 on Twitter, analyzing pretty much every corner in the NFL that you could find, and he's going to dig into the Eagles secondary with me today, talking especially about the Eagles cornerback group that is just such an interesting area of the team with so many young promising players in Jalen Mills, Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, Avante Maddox, Devontae Bosby, you know, just so many different guys that should have a role with the Eagles in the future. Maybe not Darby because he's going to be a free agent next year, but Jones, Douglas, Mills. It's just such a cool group that the Eagles have finally found some, you know, consistency with and some skill, because outside of Lito Shepherd and Cheldon Brown, they had Asante Samuel. They kicked the tires on the big free agents like DRC and Nnamdi Asamoah, although DRC was a trade. He was a big name, big-time player in his prime. Then they went with the bridge guys, you know, Nolan Carroll, God, Kerry Williams, ow, my heart, Bradley Fletcher, ow, my heart. And then they tried spending big money again. Chip Kelly throws a lot of money at Byron Maxwell. That didn't work either. They finally found these young players that they can grow with and see where they fit. You know, the slot position is still wide open with Patrick Robinson leaving. Who's going to, fill that spot? Who's going to play where? Can eventually one of these guys be a safety if a lot of these guys stay with the team? There's so many players that have upside on the Eagles cornerback room that, you know, maybe a guy like Jalen Mills or Rasul Douglas eventually go back to safety if they re-sign Darby, or if Rasul Douglas, you know, or Sidney Jones turn into lockdown number ones and Maddox shows he can play in the slot. Maybe Mills goes to safety. You know, there's just so many cool different venues we can take with the Eagles cornerback group. And let's get into it now. We will head to our interview with Ian Wharton again, the author of the NFL Cornerback Handbook for 2017 and 2018. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Film Study. Let's get to it, and let's dive into the Eagles secondary right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, positional preview edition with the secondary. Let's get to it. We are talking with Ian Wharton. He is the creator of the 2017-2018 NFL Cornerback Handbook right now on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that you had this cornerback handbook out, and we're continuing our positional preview week as Eagles training camp gets officially underway tomorrow. And it's a very interesting position, Ian, because overall the Eagles cornerback group has really been an issue for the team really since, you could probably say, the days of Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown. I mean, Asante Samuel was a big contributor for a while after that, but they tried going through guys like Nnamdi Asamoah, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, you know, Kerry Williams, Bradley Fletcher, and now it really seems like they have at least some solidified talent there with Darby, Jalen Mills, some young guys, and Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones. What is just overall, before we get into those guys, and just the slot position is wide open right now with Patrick Robinson gone, what's your overall opinion of the Eagles cornerback room? You know, again, I think it went from being a weak spot of the team for a long time to maybe not a huge strength right now, but it's definitely not a weakness anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the first impression I have is just how young. It's almost amazing that, like, this team won the Super Bowl for a few reasons, not because it's not a good team, right, but obviously with Nick Foles, the quarterback. But, I mean, also it's just the youth at the position, that corner. I mean, I don't think that they have an active corner on the roster over the age of 25. Mm-mm. And, I mean, that's almost unprecedented, and especially in a defense that's so aggressive, that predicates themselves on turnovers and making explosive plays. It's supremely talented defense, obviously, but I think you're right. I think it's starting to trend towards being more of a strength. I think individually, it was topsy-turvy last year, and especially with, you know, I think Jalen Mills and Rasul Douglas, more so than the other guys. Those guys, I think, showed that they have that learning curve. They have that kind of that ability to take that next step at any time, and if they do, then you're really looking at some, you know, maybe four or five corners deep on this roster, and all cost controlled. for this season, and then, you know, they start to make decisions. But we know Sidney Jones's pedigree. We know Rasul Douglas was obviously a day two pick as well, and so he's a guy that the team, I think, has high hopes for. Avante Maddox was a nice little pickup. So, you know, without getting too specific, I think you're right. I think that they're on the path to becoming a strength. I still wouldn't say it's a great unit overall, just until, like, someone actually breaks out. But I agree with you there. I do see what you're saying, and I think that there's a lot more reason for optimism among the group than there is to say, like, this is definitively going to be a not great group in 2018.
Yeah, it certainly isn't a huge strength yet, but, I mean, again, I could even go back to 1 year, what big of a difference that makes, because in 2016 they're throwing out the likes of Leotis McKelvin and Nolan Carroll out there. But you are right, though. I mean, none of them have really peaked yet. Darby, Mills, Douglas, Jones, you're all, you know, all of those guys, you're like, man, if they really hit their ceiling, these could be players. It is a very young core, and I'm glad the Eagles finally went that route, because it seemed like they kept going with stopgaps and bridge-type corners throughout the years, but with Jim Schwartz, it seems like it's different. And let me ask you about Jim Schwartz's style with corners. His corners last year played, especially in the second half of the season, played pretty off the ball. For aggressive corners like Mills, Darby, Rasul Douglas is very aggressive as well, they bet on a lot of those double moves. Was being off the ball part of that, you know, and what are the benefits, you know, the positives and negatives of playing back so deep?
Yeah, so, you know, I agree. I noticed that as well, and especially for a unit that they played. I had them down for the 10th most man coverage snaps last year. And so even though it's a group of, besides with the exception of Darby, Darby's very physical, but he's, you know, pretty lightweight overall, and that can kind of create some issues in the run game as well, fighting off receivers at the line. But with the exception of him, really the rest of the unit is generally big. It's generally strong, especially Jalen Mills, Rasul Douglas, those two guys make an impact at the line of scrimmage with receivers. So to see them playing a lot of off coverage, I think that's a great connection there, is that giving them that 7 to 8 to 9 yards of cushion, even though that they still bid on it sometimes, especially Mills more so than the other guys, that can generally help limit those big plays, not only that going over the top, but also coming down and crashing on the ball a little bit, making those tackles easier. With Rasul Douglas, when he had to play due to Ronald Darby's injuries, his biggest struggle last year, and he had a pretty amazing ceiling versus floor. He would at times look brilliant, and then, you know, it could be the next quarter, and he had two big blown coverages. But his biggest problem wasn't necessarily just coverage. It was tackling. So he gave up 116 yards after the catch. For a guy who only played a handful of games, that was actually 11th most in the NFL. So that's a shockingly high number. I almost think that's almost like a skewed type of number that's kind of fluky, just because he had such a small sample size. So I thought that them going off the ball a little bit more was to protect those corners, help give them a little bit more help from the linebackers on inside breaking routes, because with the exception of Darby, the unit didn't really perform overall too well on, like, digs, post patterns. They need help inside. They need help because they're not an overly dynamic group in terms of athleticism and refinement. And so those are routes that veteran receivers are going to really hurt young players. And those aren't things that aren't fixable. Those are things that experience help with. They're things that support of a defense help with. And I thought that Schwartz did a good job kind of adjusting, because early in the season, Darby especially, I thought, was kind of established himself as a solid starter, if not better. But the rest of the group I thought was very vulnerable up until later in the season, kind of like the last few weeks of the season, where it was like, okay, like, even though Mills especially is kind of vulnerable in these one-on-one situations, they did a good job of mitigating those scenarios. And really, if you have one player in that defense that's a weakness, that's going to be totally manageable for a defensive coordinator who's kind of experienced working with a pressurized group up front, who can kind of minimize the time that a quarterback has to find those weaknesses.
Is this group enough for them in the future? I mean, like you said, they're very young. Sidney Jones has a lot of upside, but, you know, you were just talking about outside of Ronald Darby, some of these guys are athletically limited, especially, you know, Douglas and Mills. Are these all a bunch of cornerback three, cornerback two types? I mean, is this the core that the Eagles can work with down the road, even say if they can't re-sign Darby next year, who's probably going to command a good amount of money in free agency?
I think a lot of that question is going to hinge on Sidney Jones and kind of his status. Just to be able to get him playing time at all last year was a bonus. I'm not sure that we can really draw too much off of what we saw last year, because it was so limited and because it was off such a major injury. If he's the guy that personally I thought he was coming out of Washington, I had him slotted between Marshawn Lattimore and Trey White and Marlon Humphrey. And those three guys went on to have seasons that kind of define them as future number one corners, if not current number one corners. So, I mean, if he's that type of talent, and I think he is, I think that the team probably feels that he is, if he can be 100%, then all of a sudden that's going to be a unit where, even though Douglas and Mills are kind of guys that may have question marks moving forward, I think you're right. I think you can live with them being cornerback two, cornerback number three. If Avante Maddox can be a slot corner and be a good contributor in that role, then all of a sudden, then this is an extremely optimistic group, whether Darby's back or not. If Jones doesn't take that step back, if he just is never that guy, or if he just isn't that guy in 2018, I start to have a little bit more questions. Mills, to me, is kind of serviceable, but he was a below-average player last year. Just to kind of give you quick numbers, I mean, he was fourth most in targets in the league. His one strength, I would say for sure, outside of run defense, is that he's a guy, he limits the initial catch point, like the average depth of completion is what I like to call it. He averaged depth of completion at just like 9 yards a catch, which was good for 17th in the league out of over 70 corners. So that's actually a strength. You're seeing him limit the plays after the catch as well. It's just obviously the big plays. The big plays for him are huge. Seven penalties last year among the lead leaguers in that. Nine touchdowns allowed that I had him responsible for. So you got to shore up those bad plays. And I kind of talked about the physical limitations with him. He's a physical guy. But when he loses early, he doesn't really have the burst. He doesn't have the deep speed to make up for it. He has to cut down on those plays, especially the double moves and the pump fakes when he's wanting to bite hard and make the big play on the ball. He almost has to take after his teammate in that regard. Darby's really balanced that really well. He's not out of position too often. Even when he does lose, he at least has the speed to make up for it.
True.
And so there's a bigger premium on Mills to be able to cut down on those type of risks because he doesn't quite have that deep speed to make up for those plays. So I think Mills is the guy that I question the most as a starting caliber player. I think he's almost more of a pseudo safety or more of a zone based corner than a man based corner. So if they're going to continue to play a lot of press man coverage or even off man coverage, there's ways to protect him, kind of like we saw last year. But at the end of the day, he's still going to be a bit of a weakness, unless if he just becomes like a masterful technician and someone who is just exquisite with his route recognition. It's possible that he does it, but his margin for error is going to be a lot smaller. I think I'm more optimistic on Douglas becoming more of that number two corner, even though he had some of those huge broken plays. I really like his physicality. I really like his ability to kind of get to the next play. The numbers on him were pretty bad, just like on Mills. 59% of his targets were completed, almost 400 yards allowed. In those games that he played, and like I said, it was obviously a very small sample size, and a lot of those were yards after the catch, so there's a lot for him to clean up. When he's in position, he's in a great position to play the ball, and so his ball production last year for his snap count was absurdly good. But on the negative, it's that when you're targeting him, you're either getting a big play or he's getting a big play. So he's got to try to find that middle ground. I like seeing the upside. I like seeing the high upside plays from him, the ceiling type of plays, that to me is encouraging. I'm willing to live with that variance a little bit more. I think physically he has a little bit more to work with than Jalen Mills. I think he's a little bit looser with his transitions, and I think that's something that the coaching staff can work with and he can work on and on improving. I think his path to being a solid starter is probably a little bit more realistic.
Okay.
And not to rule him out, you know, again, they're super young players, but you're kind of looking for realistic jumps in performance. And I think that I would probably favor Douglas there. And so if you can get Jones at even 95% of what he's supposed to be and what they're hoping he can be, and then a jump from one of those two young guys, then it's an extremely healthy position moving forward. Worst case scenario is that you do probably have a couple number two and number three corners, and then you need to find that future number one.
Absolutely. And Ronald Darby, he's a player, too, that, you know, he's still on the roster now. I'm not saying they're not going to re-sign him, but they are pretty limited next year in salary cap space. They do have other players to sign. You know, Jay Ajayi's up for a contract extension, Brandon Graham, Carson Wentz eventually is going to need a new deal. But he is someone that You know, people go back and forth with some think he's an underrated corner and that he didn't really get a fair shake last year in his first season with the Eagles because of the injury. Others think he might be a little overrated and limited as a corner when we're talking about size. But how do you view Ronald Darby? Is he a CB corner one, CB2? You know, where does Darby shake out in the NFL as a corner? And is he someone the Eagles should invest big money in? Because the markets, you know, corners is a position in free agency that guys like Byron Maxwell with the Eagles get big deals, and especially in free agency, everyone's really overpaid in free agency. He's probably someone that's going to command a big deal. Is he going to be worth that contract?
Yeah, I think I'm probably like dead in the middle on Darby. I like his game. I think he's more of a number two. So kind of in my own rankings that really focus on looking at where a cornerback's positioning is in man coverage at the apex of the route when the ball should arrive. If he's within an arm's length of that receiver, of his assigned receiver, I consider that a successful play. Generally, that's going to be a play the defense is happy with because you're going to be able to contest the catch. Even if you don't stop the catch from happening, you can contest it. So for me, out of over seven, I think it was like a 77 total corners that qualified in that study last year, he was 32nd overall. So he was a little bit above average.
Yeah.
In that study, you know, comparatively, Jalen Mills was 69th and Rasul Douglas was 70th. So those guys were well below average. So kind of compare to them, maybe get an idea. I thought Darby played well overall last year. I don't think it was as well as he could have played. I thought that 2 years ago with Buffalo was really his best season. But last year was a good year. It's just when he came back from injury, he kind of had that slow coming back. But you still saw those big plays. The five interceptions in man coverage was a big deal. And I think that that's something that you really want to build off of. Statistically, he played really well, 46% completion rate against, only 227 yards allowed on the season. So I think numerically he looked good on tape-wise. You know, like you said, he's a little bit limited size-wise. Mm-hmm. He's a guy now who's had a major injury. He's not great in run support. So what does this defense kind of want out of that cornerback position? If Sidney Jones doesn't step up to the plate, you know, how are you going to fill that other corner spot? It becomes difficult because there's always a corner or two who don't necessarily get paid their value on the market.
Right.
This year it might be Bashaud Breeland, a guy who's still on the market because of a late injury that he suffered in the offseason. So do they want to kind of roll the dice and hope that there's someone that falls through the cracks like that? Or are they just going to maybe pay up if it's $8, $9, $10 million a year for Darby? Are they comfortable with that? Like you mentioned, I tend to think that team's going to have to kind of let go of some of the players like Jay Ajayi and Ronald Darby. I don't know that they're your core players. I don't know if those are the guys that you look at and say that we absolutely have to have back for our success to be continued. He is a good player, but you have to make those tough decisions on Super Bowl caliber teams, and obviously this is a team that's maybe the favorite entering the season to win it again. So I think he's a solid starter. I don't know that he's yet emerged to be someone that you have to keep, though.
Yeah.
Although I think he's been well worth what they gave up to get him.
Absolutely. I mean, they gave up Jordan Matthews, pretty much replaced him, upgraded him with Nelson Aguilar, and they did give up a third-round pick, but, you know, if you get a above-average corner for a third-round pick for at least 2 years and you win a championship out of it, I mean, I'll take it. So I do agree with you. I think it'll be interesting to see what their decision with Darby is next year. And you are right. It probably is predicated on how the younger corners play. And let's go to the slot position here. That's probably the biggest question mark with the Eagles. You know, last year was manned down by Patrick Robinson pretty much on an elite level. He was a guy that it seemed like the Eagles were just kicking the tires on. Then it seemed like at one point it was almost just him and Jalen Mills going to be starting with Sidney Jones injured. Rasul Douglas, they didn't think was ready. Patrick Robinson might have been starting on the outside. They do make that trade for Darby, so Robinson goes inside, and he, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, just when you watch the film, he was a part of some huge plays with the Eagles last year and was an elite slot corner. This year, it's different. It's wide open. He's with the Saints now. Before I ask you who you think should fill the role, what is the difference first between playing on the outside and in the slot? What are some traits that you have to have in the slot? Maybe you have to have them on the outside as well, but for the slot as well, what is the most important parts about being a productive slot corner?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, I agree with you. I thought he was fantastic inside last year. It's not always that my stuff agrees with PFF and, you know, and whatever the result may be on that. But I agree with them on that he was one of the best slot guys in the league last year, and that was a really a pleasant surprise. Generally speaking, the two are massively different for a lot of guys. Just the spacing of the game. So a lot of outside corners are going to be responsible for the top of the numbers. Out to the far hash line, to the out of bounds line, and so the inside slot guy is then going to be responsible for everything from the wide hash to the middle of the field, and then possibly even over to the other side of the field, depending on the coverage alignment. So those come with different help. They come with different support. Safeties over the top, linebackers through the middle. Generally, slot corners get a lot more help in that manner, but at the same time, they're facing guys who are much quicker, guys who are more elusive. Guys who are a little bit more dependent on scheme sometimes, so you're facing more scheme compared to traits and ability. So it's a unique challenge, and there's also larger types of slots that is kind of becoming a little bit more popular now too. We're getting these giant slot guys, and generally slot defenders are smaller, so they're up against a tall task every single week. You know, they've got to watch out for what's being schemed open for the player, as well as some really dynamic skill sets from slot corners or slot receivers, excuse me, on a weekly basis. So I think just in terms of the speed of the game is a little bit different. It's less vertical threats and it's more underneath and horizontal threats. But you also have to watch out for picks, obviously, and then for quick throwing routes too that kind of isolate you in space. Whereas outside guys, they're generally going to be covering 8 to 12 to 15 yards down the field. And they generally have safety help over the top, especially with the Eagles. They try to give their guys help over the top as much as possible. So it just kind of one is neutralized a little bit by a quick pass rush on the outside, but the inside guys, that's usually the safety valve. So they've got to be able to react quickly, be in position almost instantly, and there's really, I think, less margin for error. So it's a very unique position, and it's hard for any team to find true playmakers at that spot. And so Robinson's emergence last year was really a unique situation, and he obviously cashed in on it.
So who fits the bill this year? You know, Mills, I think, is pretty versatile. Like you said, he could be almost like a hybrid safety. He played safety at LSU. He did line up in the slot a good amount with the Tigers, and he does have good tackling ability. He plays aggressive. He's good on the run, you know, against the run. So that, I mean, that's part of it that could, you know, work for them in the slot. But Sidney Jones got work there in OTAs and mini camp. Eventually, like you were talking about, you would hope the Eagles think he eventually does become the elite corner on the outside. Darby does have the quickness and speed, but the Eagles seem set on him being pretty much their top corner this year, so I don't really expect them to move him inside. You know, in some situations they might, but who do you think fits the mold the most here? I mean, if we had to predict and put our finger on it, not only who you think the Eagles are going to put in the slot, but if you were the coach, who are you most comfortable putting in that spot after the description you pretty much just gave with what it takes to be a slot corner?
Yeah, it's unique because I read the same thing about Sidney Jones playing there, and I get it from a skill set standpoint in sense of I think he's the guy who physically is probably the most capable of being really good at that spot early on, and it also keeps Jalen Mills in the spot where you're at least comfortable with his deficiencies. I'm gonna guess that they're going to give Avante Maddox a shot too. To play inside there, I really think he could be an early contributor in the slot. I think he's quick enough to do it. I think he's definitely aggressive enough. There's no doubt that downhill, he's an aggressive player, and I really like that about his game. I thought he was a really nice pickup on day three. Now I don't know if he's going to start because I don't know that he's earned the cachet to start over. You know, even Mills moving inside. Me personally, I would give Sidney Jones every opportunity to fail first, and if he's just not the guy that he needs to be for them to be a star on the outside, then so be it, and then you kind of react from that. I would enter the season with plans of Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones as your outside corners, and then having Jalen Mills as your starting slot early on, and you can kind of limit his man coverage exposures by having him being a little bit more of a power player. So at the line, you know, I mentioned being a hybrid safety type of corner. we've seen players in recent years be very physical at the line, release, allowing the linebackers and safeties to give them help on crossing routes and on other routes that they're not going to necessarily have a lot of success with. But they can disrupt plays, and he is very disruptive at the line of scrimmage, and he's not going to have to worry about the deep route as much playing within the slot. And I think that's going to kind of mitigate his weaknesses while also covering other positions on the defense and relying on the playmakers and the depth and the speed that they have elsewhere, because it's the rest of the defense is obviously so talented that I think they can easily make that work to at least have him be almost like a Nickell Robey Coleman, like a supersized version of Nickell Robey Coleman, because he's kind of been in that mold the last couple of years where he's great at the line of scrimmage, and Mills is 4 inches bigger and probably 20 pounds heavier. So I think it's a similar skill set, and I think he could be a little bit more reliable, I think, in terms of a play-to-play basis and minimizing those big play opportunities that defenses have found on him on the outside.
Yeah, that's what I would – I mean, if I had to go with it right now, it sounds like based on what Doug Peterson wants, what Corey Unland described with what they need in slot corner, it sounds like Mills is probably the favorite right there. They are giving everyone looks right now in the slot. But, you know, yeah, Avante Maddox eventually could be ready for that. Then maybe down the road you move Mills back to safety. Maddox plays in the slot. I mean, Jones on the outside with either Darby or Douglas. There's just so many cool scenarios you can work out with this Eagles secondary, and it's why I think it's so promising. But let me ask you a question here based on when we're talking about limited corners. For you personally, and with how the NFL is going, you know, when it comes to wide receivers and their skill sets, would you rather have your corners match up better against, you know, bigger receivers or faster? Like, and what I'm really getting to with this is kind of Douglas and Darby, because Rasul Douglas's thing is, you know, he plays aggressive, but for a bigger guy, it's tougher to recover as opposed to a guy like Ronald Darby, like you were talking about. He can get, you know, even if he gets beat on like a double move, he can get back quicker than someone like, you know, Rasul Douglas or Jalen Mills. But then at the same time, you know, if a guy like Rob Gronkowski splits out wide against Darby, you know, you'd rather have, like in the Super Bowl, the first half, Jalen Mills, I thought, played really well on Gronk. In the second half, when Darby was going up against him, especially in the red zone, that's just a matchup nightmare where you'd rather have a guy like Douglas. Do you have a preference for what you want in a corner? I mean, is the NFL going down a certain way with how these corners are built? I mean, I know a guy like Sidney Jones could probably really do both, and that's why he has the more promise of any of these guys. But what do you think about that when it comes to size and speed of corners?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think you look for, you know, guys who have the total package, but those guys are so few and far between.
Right.
You only maybe get two or three or four a year that even have the tools to do it, let alone the guys who can actually play football. If I'm picking between the two, I'm going to say quickness right now is a little bit more important. You mentioned some of these tight ends are just absolutely devastating in these one-on-one situations, and they're too fast for safeties, they're too big for corners, they're much too fast for linebackers, although linebackers are finally starting to catch up a little bit with their being a little bit more like safeties. But I think I'd go with the quickness, just in the sense of I think that the premier schemers of the league, the Sean McVay, the Doug Petersons, the Josh McDaniels, these guys are relying on their scheme to kind of create these openings a little bit more than, you know, the talent sometimes. Not all the times. Obviously, those teams have great receivers too. But especially for some of the role players, we're looking at those guys kind of relying on these guys, on these players who can win in space, these one-on-one matchups. The tall guys can do it too, and the ones who are great at it, the Julio Joneses, you know, the big, tall, physical presence, it's tough because a small guy really doesn't have a great chance against them either. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to lose, I think I'd rather try to instill a physical mindset from a player, or at least draw that physical mindset out of a player, than compared to a guy who just really has no chance. If they're put in a situation where the offense manufactures the perfect matchup and they just call the right play, there's just some guys in some matchups where the corner is just absolutely roasted on that island, and there's really nothing they can do about it because physically they just can't handle it. Whereas at least a smaller guy, I think there are things that they can do to at least disrupt the play and at least realistically have a chance at stopping it. It's a tough question, though, and I mean, I don't know that there's a right answer to it except for And even, I mean, you could have the perfect corner. You could have Richard Sherman in his prime, and he still gave up touchdowns just because the offense is always going to have that advantage. They know the play. They've got the rules in their favor. So there are tough situations like that, too, where just the defense is just going to lose, and it's just a matter of making it as hard as possible on the offense.
Good point. Yeah, I guess it's just what's easier to mask. Last question for you. Let's talk about Sidney Jones one more time, because this is a player, you know, in the second round, he tore his Achilles, so he fell to the Eagles with their second pick in the 2017 draft. A player, you know, you said you had fitted in between Lattimore and Tre'Davious White, who, again, both had huge rookie seasons, which supplanted themselves as some of the top corners in the NFL. Hopefully Sidney Jones gets to that level. I think he has the talent, but, you know, with a position like corner, especially with the Eagles, when they have their corners so far back, a lot of the guys, Mills, Douglas, Darby, who play aggressive, Jones is kind of like that too. They got to make quick cuts, put their foot in the ground, get upfield or get downfield. How impactful will that torn Achilles be, even when he's at full health? You know, he did play in that Week 17 game against Dallas. You saw some good things, but even with a full bill of health, is that Achilles injury going to disrupt maybe Jones? Is he capable? I know it's not just a health question, but are you concerned about him, even if he's healthy, after that torn Achilles? Is he going to be back to 100% if he ever is?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we won't know until we fully see it, and we see it over a few weeks, a few instances, where he really has to drive quickly downfield and does his body react when he fully draws upon it to react quickly, because he can say he's 100%. I mean, he's had the off season. Obviously, last year he probably wouldn't have came back if he wasn't, quote-unquote, 100%. But you talk to people who have either experienced that type of injury or who have worked around people with that type of injury, and usually the atrophy to that calf muscle is usually something that they constantly talk about. They simply don't have the explosiveness in that one leg. What happens is you start drawing from the other leg, and then that creates more issues there. So you hope that that's not going to be the case for him. You want that one calf specifically to be as bouncy and explosive as possible. If it's not, you know, that's going to possibly open up some opportunity. And the position inherently has such little margin for error,
right,
that kind of talked about with Mills. It's like, can he overcome it in a sense? Yes. I mean, perfect technique, perfect route, management, being able to recognize routes. That's why Terrence Newman at 38 years old is still in the league and has a role in this league. You know, but at a certain point, too, it's almost like Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis was a perfect technician. He was expert route recognition player, but eventually just even losing 10% of what he had physically, it just wasn't enough for him. He couldn't draw upon it when he needed it. So it's unfortunately one of those things that the Eagles probably won't know until, you know, the season actually starts up and they put him out there on that island and they run a go route his side, and he maybe doesn't read it as quick as possible, and then, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm with you. I sure hope he does, because he was such a good player at Washington, and
yeah,
he was so versatile. He could play press, he could play zone, he could play off man. He looked comfortable in every single setting. And I really liken him to Trey White. I think that White's a really good comparison for him, just in terms of his skill set and his comfort playing different roles. And I think that polish-wise, I think he's a guy that really could make an impact quickly this year for them if he is back to 100%.
I think so, too. And this was an awesome conversation. It's a position, again, with the Eagles. The Eagles don't have many question marks, but and even, you know, with corner, it's probably pretty clear who the two starting outside guys are going to be. I mean, I think really the big contributors are going to be Jones, Mills, and Darby. I like Maddox, I like Douglas, but I think it's going to be hard to keep those three off the field. But it certainly is a very interesting note to be watching for training camp for the Eagles. And Ian, we really thank you for coming on. Make sure you follow Ian at NFL Film Study. And Ian, where can they find your NFL Corner Handbook? Because that's a big tool, especially for people that are interested in corner like I am.
Yeah, so the link's available on my Twitter page. It's also available on my site, draftcenter.com. But you can just check out my Twitter page, and I've got samples of it all over and screenshots so people can see exactly what it's all about.
Awesome. Ian, thank you very much. I've had you on a couple times. Some great stuff, as always, and hopefully I'll have you on down the road, all right?
Hey, sounds good. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks, man. All right, awesome stuff there from Ian Wharton. Again, you can find him on Twitter at NFL Film Study. His NFL Corner Handbook is only $10. I got my hands on it today. It's something I'm really going to look into because the Eagles cornerback position is something that's really cool to read about, to, you know, study, because I just appreciate it even more now because of how bad the position has been over the past few years. And now, you know, you basically have four really talented young guys, or essentially five, you know, with Darby, Sidney Jones, Jalen Mills, Rasul Douglas, and Avante Maddox. It's almost like he was talking about, yeah, maybe Rasul Douglas doesn't work out, and maybe Mills is more of a safety type, but you still, if Sidney Jones turns into elite number one corner, and Avante Maddox turns into a solid slot guy, you could bring Darby back, and that's still a great core. Or if you don't bring back Darby, and maybe Jones doesn't work out, Mills and Douglas are still, you know, at least cornerback twos. It's just, there's so many different scenarios they can go with this position. I think regardless, it's going to be a strength of this team down the road and into the future. So if you had to ask me right now what I think it's going to, how it's going to shape out in 2017, or in 2018, excuse me, still got my heads in the Super Bowl clouds of 2017, but I think Jalen Mills is going to end up playing slot when it's in nickel formations, when it's just in base two receivers. You know, maybe sometimes there's a tight end in the slot or running back. I think that's when you see Malcolm Jenkins come down more and Mills and Darby stay on the outside. But when there's at least three receivers on, if Jones has the strong training camp that I expect him to have, or maybe Rasul Douglas does too, I think Mills is going to end up moving inside because, like he said, he's not going to be able to get beat by all these deep routes. They just don't happen as much in the slot, you know, and he's a very disruptive corner in press coverage. He can, I think, handle those slot receivers better than on the outside, even though, you know, he was talking about how Jalen Mills is limited and he wasn't great in 2017. He was much better than in his rookie year. But how about his playoff performance? I wrote this down before I talked to Ian. Mills had a lockdown playoff performance. He covered the likes of Julio Jones, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Rob Gronkowski. He only allowed 6 catches for 64 yards and a 44.7 passer rating. So we can talk about Mills moving in the slot. We can talk about him eventually being a safety. But if down the road we're saying Jalen Mills is still one of our outside corners with maybe, you know, maybe Douglas moves to safety and you got Jones and Mills on the outside with Maddox in the slot, so I'm okay with that still. I think Mills really proved a lot of critics wrong last year, and although he is a limited corner, he has made up for that with his, you know, tackling ability, with his technique, with his awareness, his IQ, his leadership. He just has a lot of intangibles, and I hate using that word, but he's just got a lot of things that, although he's not the most physically gifted guy, he's also not slow. I mean, he ran around a 4.5, I think, in his 40 time. He's got a quick twitch. He was very good in the two cone drills. So, you know, I think he's got that good hip movement and quick feet, I think more than people actually give him credit for. So, you know, Jalen Mills, the statistic guys don't like him. I don't think the film people really like him either, but you can't really, you know, go against his playoff performance. And that's what we've seen recently, and it was on the biggest stage. And you can't ignore the regular season, but I put more stock in the playoffs than anything because it's just such a different beast. And Mills stepped up time and time again. But it's such a cool scenario. But if you ask me right now, I think Jones and Darby are on the outside with nickel formations, which is the majority of the Eagles' defense, and I think Mills is moved inside. Not as a demotion, but because Mills just, he has better tackling ability than Darby and Jones. He's more aggressive, and I think Darby and Jones have a higher ceiling than Mills. And if they reach that, you'd rather have those guys on the elite receivers. So that's what I think for corners. You know, when we talk about safeties, it's pretty locked down. Since Brian Dawkins, the Eagles were looking for a replacement for him, too. The Eagles really, since Dawkins, Lito Shepard, and Sheldon Brown, have just been kind of recycling through different members of the secondary. But, you know, with Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod, that is probably the best safety tandem in the NFL, or at least it's definitely one of them. And Jenkins just moves all over the ball. He barely even actually plays safety. He, the majority of snaps last year, was playing actually nickel linebacker and played in the slot more than he played safety as well. So Jenkins is going to continue to move around next year, and that's what I'm saying too, is if a tight end or a running back the Eagles want Jenkins assigned on, they're going to have different formations with that, and that's why the Eagles need to rely on some of these young guys. I really like Jeremy Reeves. He was a player I actually projected the Eagles to take in round 4 or 5. And he ended up becoming an undrafted rookie, and the Eagles got him there. And for an aggressive safety like him, I'll take that. I think it really, you know, we speculate with Corey Graham, is he going to come back to the Eagles this year? And it's probably going to happen. But one way it doesn't happen is if Trey Sullivan and Jeremy Reeves just play really well. Trey Sullivan had a very strong preseason last year. If Reeves is making plays all around training camp and preseason and he's making some big hits and he's not a liability in coverage, those two guys can keep Corey Graham unsigned. And they're going to have to – the Eagles are really going to have to trust those guys, though, because the third safety spot with the Eagles is bigger and more important than it is on other teams because of how – many formations and how many different ways they use Malcolm Jenkins. So it's an interesting spot. If you asked me right now, I still think they probably bring in Corey Graham and maybe Reeves makes the practice squad or Trey Sullivan. I think Trey Sullivan's going to end up making this roster, although I really do like Reeves as well. Reeves is probably more of a practice squad type if they want to keep Corey Graham for another year. So, you know, we'll see. The Eagles made two cuts today, so they have some spots on their roster to fill. Maybe Corey Graham does come back, but if these young guys really want a spot, there's at least one spot left. You know, Chris Maragos is on the team still, but he's a special teams ace. He's not really used as much as a safety. If Reeves or Trey Sullivan want this job as the third safety, they can take it. But, you know, training camp starts tomorrow, and they really need to make an impact, because if the first couple weeks go by and they are not making a huge difference, if Sullivan's not playing as well as he did last summer, then Corey Graham's coming back to this Eagles team. But if Sullivan looks just as good as he did in the preseason last year, and if not better, and he convinces the Eagles to keep Corey Graham off, he's going to have a role with this team. So the secondary is a fun position finally for the Eagles, and I'm just so excited that we get to be talking about some talented young players and underappreciated guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. McLeod just doesn't get his due, you know, with the NFL. When we're talking about some of the best safeties in the league, he was effective on the blitz last year, really good in coverage. He made some really big plays for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That when he body slammed Brandon Cooks on third and goal to keep the Patriots to a field goal attempt, I mean, that aggressive style is something that I think Eagles fans would really embrace. You know, Rodney McLeod almost plays more like Brian Dawkins than Jenkins does, but he kind of just gets lost in the fold a little bit. But he is one of the better safeties in the league, too, so that is a strength of the team as well, and it's also why guys like Jalen Mills, who might be more physically restricted, can succeed, because you got guys like Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins over top helping them out. So if you had to ask me right now how it shapes out, I would probably say they're going to end up keeping six corners. I think they'll keep the five young guys, you know, Darby, Jones, Mills, Douglas, and Maddox, and then they probably end up keeping Devontae Bosby just because of how good of a spring he's had, and if he continues that into the summer, they probably keep those six corners, and probably four safeties, maybe five. If they keep five safeties, it's because they want Graham and Maragos on the team with one of the young guys. I don't see them keeping both Trey Sullivan and Jeremy Reeves unless they both just light up the summer, because then it's really you have McLeod, you have Jenkins, Maragos on, as a special teamers, and then you're going to keep two promising young guys. I don't, especially in, also with corners like Mills and Douglas who can play safety if need be, just doesn't really fit the mold for me. But if they want to continue to develop one of those young guys and keep them on the roster, but at the same time, they need a big contributor immediately, that's where you see Corey Graham come into play, and then maybe they keep just one of Reeves or Trey Sullivan on top of having a special teams ace like Maragos. But it's very interesting to see what they do. They're going to keep, I think, at least 10 secondary members on this Eagles roster, and it's just such an exciting position to watch. So that's going to do it for today's Eagles positional preview on Locked On Eagles and on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and of course, as always, on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, whoa, that's fast, DiBiase, L-O-E on Twitter. Guys, Eagles training camp kicks off tomorrow. How excited are you? It's just going to be so awesome. with the Super Bowl championship complete finally for the first time in franchise history, it's going to make the summer just even more fun. I just, you know, as a kid growing up, I loved watching Dave Spitter on Eagles training camp live for 5 hours, just watching the coverage nonstop. And now just hanging out on Twitter, watching just the play-by-play on Twitter. It's a dream come true that I get to cover the Eagles, but I'll know I really made it when I get to be at training camp doing the play-by-play, you know. Jeremy Reeves knocks ball away from, you know, Shelton Gibson on a Nick Foles deep throw. It's just, I live for that stuff, and it's super nerdy, but I know you diehard football fans that listen to this podcast also feel the exact same way I do. So Eagles training camp officially gets underway tomorrow. We're going to have a recap podcast. We'll get an Eagles beat writer on the show to recap this week of practice, and we're also going to wrap up our positional previews with linebacker and defensive line tomorrow and on Thursday. So that's going to do it for today. Thank you again for joining me on the Locked On Eagles podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you. Let's go, Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.